Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
Exodus 33, verse 18. Exodus 33 and verse 18. When you find it, shall praise the Lord. It will be on your screen for your convenience, but it's always important to have your Bible with you. The Word of God says, "And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory." How many would like that to be a part of your life? And he said, "I will make all," this is what God says, "and I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." And he said, "Thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live." Now look at verse 21. "And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me." Everybody say that. There is a place by me. Say it one more time. There is a place by me. "And thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." I want to talk to you today, just for a few moments of time, of a thought that I took from this scripture, a place by me. I believe that this morning. I believe that God has a place for every one of us in this room. I believe there's a lesson in this message that's going to help us catapult this church to a new level, a new dimension. But before that happens, I believe there's some things that has to be taken care of in our lives, don't you? And I thank God today that His Word is so true and it's so real. And He's going to help us through everything that we face. Today we're going to be talking about a place by me. Take your neighbor by the hand today. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for the place that you have reserved for each and every one of us in this room. We ask for a special anointing upon our lives, God, and that, Father, this word would go forth in power and demonstration of your Spirit, a powerful seed planted in good ground. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says, amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for standing in a reverence for reading God's word. So I want to begin this first segment, and I want to say this. I believe this, and I have believed this since about 1999 for Gospel Lighthouse Church. I believe that Gospel Lighthouse Church, this place, is a house of restoration. I have believed this, and I still believe this for years. I still believe that this is a house of restoration. When I look at the word restoration, the word simply means the act of returning something to an original, unimpaired condition. Returning us back to the person that we were before we went through wrecks and hardships and trouble and trials. A place where God can restore us even the joy of our salvation. Am I talking to somebody here this morning? The other great word, I think, for restoration is the term renewal. Or it could even be reestablishment, or even, I like this word, revival. So not only is Jesus in the ministry of reconciliation, we also know that Jesus is in the ministry of restoration. God wants to restore the church. God wants to restore the church to the former glory. You read throughout scriptures and you see how evident this is, that God, His presence must be glorified. His presence must be welcomed. He must be invited into the house of God. And when he does that, and when he's invited, and that process is going the way that God has intended it for it to go, you begin to see a work of restoration in the lives of God's people. Well, what is so unique, and I have felt this for years, what is so unique and what is so different about Gospel Lighthouse Church than any other church in this community, perhaps any other church in the Boot Hill, is this thought, and is this really, I believe it's a truth about our church. Gospel Lighthouse Church is full of broken people who are constantly at the grace and mercy of God to be restored. Especially in these last days, I have never seen it as much as I've seen it in, say, the last 4 or 5 years. That the people come to Gospel Lighthouse, they come to here, they come in, and they get restored, they get strengthened, and we're always constantly at God's grace and His mercy to help us in our journey and our peregrination with Him, to help us along the way in life. And so we developed a motto. We developed this motto, and we've said people are our greatest investment. We've said we should never underestimate the value of a single person, that people are so valuable that Jesus died on the cross for all mankind. That has been our model, and we have ran with that, and we still believe that to be true. So if somebody on the street comes to you and suggests to you that Gospel Lighthouse Church doesn't care about people, just tell them this. Tell them you are gravely mistaken. I'm praying for you that your feelings of rejection will be healed. I'm praying for you that your eyes will be open to the fact that Gospel Lighthouse Church is a place of non-perfect people who has their eyes on God and not a person. Who has their eyes on God and not a personality. Who has their eyes on God and not a program. We are full of broken people. I want you to do this. My grandmother Brown used to do this all the time to me when she would want to isolate me and have a heart-to-heart talk. And she would sit down in a seat or on the couch or wherever it was, and she would pat the seat. So pat the seat right next to you and say this with me. There's a place by me. She would say that. Come sit here, John Kerry. I have a place by me. Come sit. I want to talk to you. I want you to know that I want to get close to you and I want to have a conversation. I believe that's what God is saying to us, the body of Christ. I believe He's saying to us right now, slow down in life right now. You're running to and fro too much. Just slow down enough to sit beside me and just know that there is a place by me. I want to hold you. I want to love you. I want to embrace you. I want to talk to you. You do all the talking all the time, but let me talk to you. Let me whisper. Let me be the still small voice in your life. Let me be the comfort for those who mourn. Let me be the strength for those who are weak. Let me be for the joy of the Lord who's the strength. Let me be the joy for those who are hurt. Let me show you the way that there's a better way. There's a place by me. I believe God is saying that, don't you? I like what this thought here, and I think the Apostle Paul knew this, knew that there was a place by God. And I think the Apostle Paul knew it, that in such a way that he had to tell the people, hey, you've got to understand that the ministry and the message is so crucial right now. He writes to the Romans. He says in Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, he says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? There's a place by me. He says, and how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? But there's a place by me, is what God is saying. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And there's a place by me. And look at 15, he says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. What God has put upon the preachers, the pastors, the teachers' hearts is to bring an invitation to those that need to hear the word of truth and the word of life. There's a place by me. And I agree with you this morning. Not everyone is called to preach. Aren't you glad of that? But everyone in this room, you're called to reach. There's no doubt about it. It's the Great Commission. followed by the great commandment. You and I have a commission, and Christ is calling us to reach those that need Christ, that need God in their lives. I think one of the greatest stories of restoration in the Word of God is the story of King David and Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth. Has anybody heard the story before? The king has a crippled child. We know from reading that when the enemy was nearing the camp of Israel, a nurse who was taking care of Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, she began to flee. She was carrying Mephibosheth and she was running. And as she was running, she dropped Mephibosheth. The Bible says she dropped him. And because of the drop, Mephibosheth became a crippled child. As time went on, as years went by, Mephibosheth, the Bible says, this is Jonathan's son. Now remember, David and Jonathan, their souls are knit together, so they have a unique closeness, a brotherhood, a camaraderie that is so embedded in their lives and in their thoughts and their communication and their conversation. But we read that as time went on, Mephibosheth, he was brought down to a place called Lodabar. Lodabar was a very small village, a very small town. It was, in fact, the poorest town in the kingdom. Lodabar basically meant a cow pasture. That's all it meant. It was the poorest place in the kingdom. But to make matters worse, Lodabar was a forgotten town, forgotten kingdom, forgotten city. Is God speaking to anybody here this morning? Have you felt like you've been dropped? And it's one thing to be dropped in the middle of a war. It's one thing to be dropped when you're fleeing. But then, to make matters worse, you're taken in your crippled state to the lowest, poorest place on the face of the earth. And you're there to just be forgotten. You're there just to be remembered no more. Your part of your life has been so wounded and so hurt that nobody even knows about it. Is anybody talking to anybody this morning? Have you ever went through a situation before that you felt like you've been dropped? Listen, I pastor, and I've been doing this for years after years, and I have embedded myself, my life, in the lives of others. And I have preached funerals after funerals after funerals, and only to be forgotten, only to be let alone, and not it's just like that's your duty. And I just feel like sometimes in my life that I've been forgotten, and nobody's paying attention to what Pastor JC's going through. And I think today, some of you felt the same way. You felt outcast. You felt ostracized. You felt rejected and abandoned. But I'm here to tell you, as I stand behind this sacred desk, that even though people may have forgotten you, God will never forget you. He said He will go with you every step of the way. And that's the comfort, Pastor Carl, that I need as a pastor. That's the comfort that I need as the Holy Spirit, that He won't leave me. He will go with me. He will remember me. When everybody else has forgotten, God will go with me. Aren't you glad of that today? 2 Samuel chapter 9. I like this verse 3. It's on your screen. It says, the king said, is there not any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan yet has a son which is lame on his feet. That makes me wonder how many people, Pastor Carl, in Blytheville, is there any of the house of Blytheville that Gospel Lighthouse can show kindness to? Is there anybody in Blytheville, in the streets, in this neighborhood, that are lame on their feet, that we can show kindness to? I think God is saying that to us, that we need to get our sensitivity back in order and say, hey, wait, let's just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Is there anybody in Mississippi County that Gospel Lighthouse Church can show kindness to? Oh, yes, there is. There's people hurting. There's people lost. There's people, listen, there's people so much full of pride and anger and racism and all that junk. And we need to be the lighthouse that God has called us. Peace! people are our greatest investment. We must tell them and point them to the cross of Calvary and say, look, the world can offer only a little bit, but God has it all. Come to God. Come to Jesus. And everyone that has a breath, let them know that God loves you and died for you and wants to redeem you back to Himself. Can somebody say, there's a place by me? This is where I want to be very careful. I want to be very cautious because I don't want people to get the wrong idea. But God has never called Gospel Lighthouse Church to give out silver and gold. Now, I understand that we are the body of Christ and there are needs, financial needs, and we do our part. But people in these last days have taken advantage of the church. They have taken advantage of the finances they felt. And I'm not trying to offend anybody because I've been there before. I've had church help me out before. I paid them back, but I've had them help me out. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying there are people who play the system and just want to take advantage of the church and its finances, and they think the church is the bank, and they can go and they can make withdrawals like an ATM anytime they want to. And I think that's never been God's plan for Gospel Lighthouse Church. I don't believe that's ever been God's plan. And yet, at times, Brother Vernon, we, the church, have thrown money at problems when we had the talent and gifts to fix the problem ourselves. So listen to this. In the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, now Peter, it's going to be on your screen. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple of hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame. What is it that is in common with Mephibosheth? He's lame. This man at the gate in the book day of Acts, he's lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom he laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask alms. Look at verse 4. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon with John, said, look on us. Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Now, verse 6 is so crucial. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Look at verse 7. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately, somebody say immediately. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Can we get to that point, Pastor Carl? Can we get to that point, Brother John? Can we get to the point where there's going to be enough of God in our lives that we don't have to run to the resources, the legitimate resources, and say, well, we can just give you this to help you? No, can we lay hands on somebody and say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get your healing today? Can we have enough anointing in our lives that can destroy the yoke of bondage when the hurting and the hurt and the broken and the those that are bound come into the house of God? Can we say, in the name of Jesus, silver and gold have I none, but what I have? Do we have anybody in the house that can say, what I have is Jesus? Get up and get your blessing. We need more what I haves in the house of God. Amen. God is calling Gospel Lighthouse Church to bring the hurting to Jesus. God is calling Gospel Lighthouse Church to make room for those modern day apostate churches that are rejecting and isolating and ignoring the hurt, the bruised, the outcast, the ones that have been dropped. At this moment right now, I want you to lift your hands to heaven. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit of depression. I command it to go back to hell where it come from. I command it through the blood of Jesus Christ. Those people that are suffering with depression, free their mind in Jesus' name. Not by power, not by might, but through the Spirit of the living God. Devil, you have no right. You are trespassing against the child of God. Free them in Jesus' name. Let them know there's hope beyond what the world could ever offer. The hope is in Christ. My hope is in God today. Can somebody say amen? My, my. Sometimes you just got to tear down the strongholds. God is calling us to make room. But before we can make room, we got to get ourselves together. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, you got to get yourself together. I got to get myself together. I've been a mess. I've been a wreck. It's been more than just a bad hair day. It's more than just missing a payment. It's more than just hurting. It's more than just having a bad attitude. I got to get myself together. But you're in the right place today. This house is a place of restoration. There's a place by God, and God is calling us. He's telling us today we need to tell apathy to scoot over. Everybody say, scoot over. There's a place by me. We need to tell jealousy to scoot over. Everybody say, scoot over. There's a place by me. We need to tell pride to scoot over. There's a place by me. We need to tell offense to get out of here, to scoot on out. There's a place by me. We need to tell bitterness to get out, to scoot over, because there's a place by me. We need to tell racism to scoot out. Get out of this community. There's a place by me. People cannot be restored and renewed and revived if they are not invited. And if we've got apathy and jealousy and pride and bitterness and all of that mess in our lives, we don't have room for somebody that's hurting. Let's get that junk out of our lives. It does not belong here. And let's invite God to come and get ourselves. Can somebody give the Lord a good hand clap of praise? My, oh my. Jonathan, his son Mephibosheth, is lame. He's in Lodabar. The man at the gate, beautiful, he's lame. He's waiting for alms. He's waiting for people, human reaction to help him, just to get him to the next day. This brings me to my main point. My life point today is this. If surviving lions don't tell their story, then the hunters get all the credit. If surviving lions don't tell their story, then hunters get all the credit. Some of you today, you're a survivor. You've went through hell. You've went through abuse. You went through, you were dropped. You were that Mephibosheth. Some of you, you have sat at the gate beautiful, and you're a survivor. And it's like some people have noticed, but they just went on and ignored you. But you're a survivor. And if you and I, as survivors, if we don't tell our story, then it's the hunters that get all the credit. That means that the devil gets all the credit. I'm not here to glorify Satan. I'm not here to give the devil credit. I'm here to give God the credit, and I'm here to tell my story. I'm here to tell everybody that has an ear to let them know that this Native American, this Cheyenne Arapaho, gave his heart to God. And God restored him and saved him and loves him and cares for him, and he the same for you. We were all headed to hell, but thank God I had a grandma that prayed. Thank God you had somebody in your corner that fought for you, that said, look, I believe in that person, and they welcomed you, they invited you, and they said, come, there's a place by me. If a surviving lion can tell his story, just think, all of us lions in in this room, going out into Blytheville and telling the story how God took an old person, an old beat up, an old person that has been forgotten, and turned his life around and gave him a new start. Thank God today. If surviving lions don't tell their story, then the hunters get all the credit. I like this scripture, Exodus 33. Our opening text, Moses, he says, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious unto whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy unto whom I will show mercy. And he said, you can't see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said this, and I love this, Brother Ken. Behold, there is a place by me. Thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass while my glory passes by, that I'll put thee in a cliff of the rock, and I'll cover thee. Somebody say, cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall you not see. The surviving lions don't tell their story, then the hunters get all the credit. In a few moments, I'm going to tell you my story. At the end of this message, I'm going to share with you my story. Now remember, as we said a couple of weeks ago, God formed man, sin deformed man, education informed man, religion reformed man, but only Jesus can transform man. Is that on the screen, Caleb? How many surviving lions do we have in this house? Can you stand right now and say, I'm a surviving lion? Can you stand right now and say, that's me? Can you stand and say, hey, I've been through it, but I've survived? The surviving lions don't tell their story, then the hunters get all the credit. I believe that what God is doing this. Look around in this room. Before you sit, I want you to look around this room. Look at everybody in this room. I believe that's what God is saying to you. There's a place by me. I believe God is saying this. God is transitioning the surviving to the thriving. You're not surviving anymore. You're not a survivor anymore. You're a thriver. Look at your neighbor and tell him, hey, you've been through hell. You've been going through it. But you're not a survivor today. You're a thriver. God is transitioning you. Can somebody just get out of your seat and go to somebody and convince them right now? There's a place by me. God is telling you, you are no longer a survivor. You're a thriver. Can you give God some glory and some praise in the house? Go ahead and be seated. God is telling us this. Revelation 5, and it's on your screen, Revelation 5 and verse 2, and I'm about to close, and I'm about to share my story with you. He says, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Verse 4, and I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto him, weep not. Look what he says. He says, weep not. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed. If you don't get anything today, get that. The lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. What are you getting to? Where are you going? This is where I'm going. The lion of Judah has prevailed so we can tell his story. That's what the story is all about. The story is that Jesus Christ made us more than conquerors. The story is this, that greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. The story is this today, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that shall come up against us, rise against us, God shall condemn. The story is this: if God be for us, who can be against us? The Lion of Judah has prevailed, and we need to tell his story. But not only that, the Lion of Judah has prevailed, so we can tell our story. And we can tell the world, I was lost, I was blind, I was dead, but thank God for grace, his amazing grace. I can see again. I have found my way. I'm born again because the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed. If surviving lions don't tell their story, the hunter gets all the credit. Guess what? Jesus told his story through the blood of his own self, written in blood, that it is finished. He died on a cross, but it didn't stop there. The story continues, and it says that he rose the third day. He gave it all so we might have it all. We are victorious today because of Christ. My, oh my, God is so awesome. So, time is short. Amen. Time is short. We need to tell a lost and dying world, there's a place by me. Pat your seat right there beside you. Tell them, there's a place by me. I like what Matthew 28 says in verse 19. He says, go ye therefore, Jesus says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So how do I apply this to my life? How can I make this message a place by me count for life? Well, if surviving lions don't tell their story, then hunters get all the credit. Well, let's finish this story. First of all, let's finish the story of King David, and I'm going to tell you my story. Let's finish the story of King David. King David and Mephibosheth. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 9. It's on your screen. Verse 5. It says, and King David said unto him, where is he? Verse 4, I'm sorry. And now we'll go to verse 5. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Emil, from Lodabar. Verse 6 says, now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold thy servant. Verse 7, and David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father. And thou shalt eat the bread of the table. Eat the bread of the table continually. I believe the best way to make application of this message is to cultivate an atmosphere and an invitation. I want to share with you my story. I'm going to share with you my story this morning. So earlier this month, my mom told me she had been sick. And then 2 weeks ago, she was hospitalized and they sent her home. And then a couple days later, I get a text that my mom's not doing well. And this Thursday, the 21st, her caregiver called and said that her kidneys were failing. And I was outside and I was trying to get some air and doing a little yard work. I wasn't feeling real well, just getting over pneumonia. And as I was out there, an hour later, the caregiver called and said, that my mom had went into a coma. And she called me because they needed some authorization. So I went inside the house. It was in the morning. I went inside the house and seen what I could find. And I sent what I had. And then I went and laid in my bed. And I grieved. I grieved deeply. I grieved. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. I grieved. Then I got up. And I wrote and recorded this song. And then I sent the song to my sister, who was beside my mother and she was in a coma. And they say, I've heard people say that were in comas, that they could hear. So my sister played this song for my mom. And after she had played this song, it was just a few moments, just minutes, on a Thursday afternoon, my mom died. And I want to sing to you the song that God gave me, that my mom heard. It's called A Place by Me. The Lord of Hosts. It's going to be on your screen, Caleb. The Lord of Hosts, A Place by Me. There's a place by me, says the Lord, a table full of mercy, a table full of grace. Come and sit with me, says the Lord, take the bread of hope, take the grape of life. Sit with me for a while, find your rest in me. Lay it all at my feet. There's a place by me. Peace, be still. There's a place by me, says the Lord, a table full of mercy, a table full of grace. And come and sit with me, says the Lord, take the bread of hope, take the grape of life. Sit with me for a while, find your rest in me. Lay it all at my feet, there's a place by me. Peace. Be still. Would you come to the altar this morning? And I want you to find a place by God.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.